WGTD FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Mangi for Education Matters, WGTD Gateway 91.1 HD. On behalf of our radio engineer, Troy McDonald, who's with us today, who, by the way, just got accepted to Harvard School of Government, the Harvard, Cambridge, Massachusetts, the Kennedy School of Government. Congratulations, Troy. Dave Cole, Dave McGrath, Greg Berth, and every one of the fine people here at Gateway. Thank you for supporting WGTD Radio, and thank you for listening in this morning. Today we are featuring another program about people in Kenosha and Racine being kind. That is our theme, practicing peace, making southeastern Wisconsin a better place to live, work, and study. People who are making kindness their superpower. How beautiful a day can be when kindness takes over. We teach our young people, young leaders, if you change the world inside of you, then you can change the world outside of you. So being kind is a priority. This morning, we are delighted to have with us Mrs. Adeline Green, a longtime administrator with the Kenosha County Government, one of the original founders of the Coalition for Dismantling Racism in Kenosha, of Kindness Week, and a community leader of the highest honor. Together with husband Daryl Green is leading the way to promote kindness, racial equity, diversity, leadership, bringing the community together to fight racism and discrimination. Adeline continues to be the leader of the Coalition for Dismantling Racism of Kenosha, and which I am a proud member. Adeline, it's a great honor, and thank you so much for being with us this morning. And let's start off with, can you tell us how all of this began, the Coalition for Dismantling Racism and Kindness Week?
First off, yes, thank you so much for that kind introduction, and it's my pleasure to be here with you today, Joe. As far as the Coalition for Dismantling Racism goes, we started the coalition in 1996, and we began the coalition after many of us attended a workshop at Carthage College called Dismantling Racism, where we were challenged to address some of our own biases and prejudices. It was a room of people of many ethnicities. And we were so encouraged and inspired by that workshop at Carthage that several of us in the community decided to continue the effort, and we formed our own coalition that we named the Coalition for Dismantling Racism. There were many community members that were a part of that, just to name a few: the late Reverend Olin Arrington Jr., the late Mary Lou Mahone, the late Thelma Orr, as well as other community members like myself, Kay Weichel, Dennis Weichel, Karen Schultz, Marlene Tack, and a number of others whose names I don't recall at this time. But we've been at this for well over 20 years now, trying to address racism in Kenosha, and hopefully we've made some impact.
You've done a fantastic job. So can you tell us, Kindness Week, how did the breakfast start and the activities? And all of our listeners, we're going to review those activities coming up in the next week or so. So it's a pretty powerful schedule. So Adeline, how did the Breakfast and Kindness Week start?
The Breakfast and Kindness Week started after we formed our coalition in 1996. We tried to figure out as a group how we could continue this effort of anti-racism. And one of our members, one of our founding members, the late Reverend Olin Arrington Jr., came up actually with the idea of Kindness Week. And it came about because he had visited an organization in Texas who were embarking on a similar initiative called Kindness. And he brought that to our group's attention. We thought it was a great idea. And so we tried to figure out when and how we could do this in Kenosha. We landed on the idea of doing Kindness Week during the week that Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday is celebrated because, you know, what an icon he was for anti-racism and peaceful protests and things of that nature. And that's how we started. We had our first Kindness Week in January during Martin Luther King Week of 1997 and have continued since that time. We added the Community Unity Breakfast 2 years later in 1999 and have had that in place ever since. I want to say that the Kenosha Unified School District has always been an integral part of Kindness Week. We've always had representation from KUSD, and for that we're really grateful.
I remember being principal at Bradford High School, and I remember attending the first Kindness Week breakfast. I think we may have sponsored it at Bradford, but it was very special to see children, kids from elementary, middle school, and high school be recognized for acts of kindness, and to have those, to have yourself and Mary Lou Mahone and Thelma Orr, Sharonda Glass, kind of enumerate and go through those. Can you talk to us a little bit about the brilliant idea of including kids as part of the breakfast?
Certainly. In the beginning, we decided that we wanted to honor and acknowledge people who had done courageous acts of kindness. In the very beginning, we included adults as well as students in those kindness awards. But over the course of time, we thought it was more important to acknowledge the students because, as you know, the students are the future. And if we can acknowledge those kids who are doing courageous acts and sometimes the bold acts of kindness, that would inspire and instill that type of attitude in other kids. Mm-hmm. And so we started giving our kindness awards to students only, not the adults. Mm-hmm. And we solicit the kids through an award notice that we send out to the KUSD student body. We send it to the teachers, the principals, and they actually nominate students that they think are worthy of the Kindness Award. And we have been so grateful for all the nominations that we've gotten over the course of time. It's difficult. We have a committee that looks over all the nominations, and some years we have so many kids that are nominated that we have to really limit the number of nominations or the number of awardees that we can give for Kindness Week. But we are so encouraged when we see the kids doing all these really kind and honorable things to help their fellow students.
We do peace learning circles at the elementary level in Kenosha and Racine. And one of the first questions we ask, okay, everybody in the circle, let's share an act of kindness that you've done for someone or somebody's done for you. And it's amazing the ideas that kids come up with. And one of the ideas was to create the buddy bench on the playground. So if a student is feeling all alone and sad, they sit on that buddy bench and the other kids see, Janie or Isaiah or whoever, Emily, is all alone, let's go sit with her or with him. And so that buddy bench, I gave a presentation out in Bigfoot, and they have a buddy bench at their high school.
Wow.
So that idea, there's a ripple effect with, and kids can lead the charge. I know Nicole Mays, when she was principal at K-Tech East, would get on the intercom in the morning and say, okay, everyone, think of one act of kindness that you're going to do today. At the end of the day, the last hour teacher gets everybody together and say, okay, everybody, let's share. How were you kind today? The kids go home, and at the dinner table, when mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, whoever is there, they will ask the question, okay, let's share. How are we kind today? So that was a powerful thing that you started that has had a ripple effect that continues now. So how many years of Kindness Week are we talking about?
We are talking with this year's event, we're talking 23 years of kindness since 1997.
Wow.
And I'm glad you brought up the peace learning circles, because we think we have had a ripple effect in some areas, and the peace learning circles is one of the things that I think was inspired by Kindness Week. And
yes.
I'm happy to hear that that is continuing and being successful, because that's what we want. And we need to instill that in our young people, and that's what you're doing through the peace learning circles.
Well, thank you very much. We have interchangeable parts, because so many of the people that are on the Coalition for Dismantling Racism are teaching as part of, and Troy is one of our board members. So can you go through, Adeline, this is a powerful schedule with Kindness Week. The events that kick off Friday, January 18th and continue until Friday, January 25th, you can pick and choose or just go through all of them if you want. So listeners, make a vow to attend at least something. There are so many different events. Adeline's going to go through them.
Okay, I'd be happy to. I just want to say that every year our committee gets together and comes up with a theme for the week. And this year our theme is the healing power of kindness. We think that kindness is very powerful, and it can have an impact on some of the things that we're seeing in the nation today, some of the hatred, the uncivility, the bad behavior that's happening. We want people to be kinder toward one another, and we think that will help to heal the nation, help to heal our community. And so we picked that theme specifically for that purpose. But our event goes for approximately 8 days. It changes every year because different players come into Kindness Week. We are so fortunate that as word is getting out about our week, more and more people are coming to us and wanting to be a part of Kindness Week. So we start out the weekend with, we ask the various congregations in Kenosha to do their sermons based on whatever our theme is, the healing power of kindness, as well as to focus on the life and the messages of Dr. Martin Luther King, because we think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday also, the museum is having an event called King Cotton. It's a special presentation for adults, and it's being held at the Civil War Museum. This is an activity that normally is done for elementary school children, but this year the museum wanted to introduce this to adults. It's an interactive program that talks about slavery, its impact on this nation, and how there's still an impact to this day on the cotton industry. A new event that has come into play is something called Becoming a Heartprint Hero. It's similar to what the Peace Learning Circles are doing. It's inspiring kids 12 and under to fill out a tracker, a kindness tracker, and let people know what they're doing to be kind to other people. And as a result of that, they'll receive a special certificate that lets them know they are being kind and caring to other people. So that's something where we're involving students more.
That's really interesting. So that's something our listeners, parents could do with their,
absolutely,
their youngsters.
Absolutely.
Right, to track kindness and have a chart.
Kind acts.
It's kind of like the Advent calendar for kids, where you're anticipating, you know, something at the end of the calendar. But keeping track of things like journaling is a tremendous strategy to teach young people.
Absolutely. And there is a website that the students can go on. It's on our schedule, our printed schedule, and I'll just tell you that it's http://heartprintheroes.weebly.com. So that's where the students can go on and track and indicate what kind acts they've done during the day, during the week, whatever. I just want to move on. Our signature event is our Community Unity Breakfast, and that is on Saturday, January 19th at 8:30 a.m., and it is at Bradford High School. This event is free and open to the public. We will accept donations if people choose to do that, but it's not necessary. So We, at that event, we acknowledge all the kind acts that have been submitted to us by teachers within the Kenosha Unified School District, as well as some of the community organizations. So it's a really great event. You get a good breakfast, and you get to see the kids and getting their awards for being kind.
Yeah, I've attended so many times, and everybody, it's a joyous occasion. You'll be uplifted just by listening and seeing the kids and all of the kind acts of kindness they've done the previous year,
yes.
Right? So,
yes.
Yeah, it's an uplifting event. It really is. It's fun.
And we've added a couple of things to the awards. We invite kids to write poetry now about kindness or to submit an original rap or song about kindness. And so we'll have a couple of the kids actually read their poetry or do their rap during that time. And we also have one video presentation that a group of students put together about being kind. So that'll be exciting to hear that.
Practicing acts of kindness. We always felt at Bradford our motto was practice peace. It meant that peace wasn't perfect, but you get better at anything that you practice.
Absolutely.
So practicing kindness, you actually learn and you grow and you get better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So that's one event that's taking place on Saturday at 8:30 a.m. at Bradford High School. And that afternoon, same afternoon, January 19th at 1 p.m., there's going to be a book discussion on The Hate U Give, which is a book written by Angie Thomas, a young woman who is talking about some of the police brutality that is directed at African-Americans. And it talks about the Black Lives Movement. But this is an opportunity for people to discuss and come to some type of understanding about the plight of others. So that book discussion is taking place at the Northside Public Library at 1 p.m. on Saturday, January 19th.
Okay.
And then on Monday, we have our annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration that takes place at Gateway Technical College. This is the 25th year that Gateway has put on this event. And their theme this year is One Voice, Many Stories. They're having a guest speaker by the name of Greg Riley. It starts at noon on Monday, which is the actual Martin Luther King celebration day. And we're looking forward to that one because it's always a really great event, and we hope lots of people show up like they usually do.
It's so important along the way to have everyone have an opportunity to tell their story.
Absolutely.
And I've often felt there should be a story hour once a week where anybody can come in and just share their experiences. You know, you are what you were when. So, for example, we teach, when was the first time you felt different? When was the last time you felt different? And everybody has something to offer. You know, the first time you were bullied because you were too short. The first time you were bullied because you were too tall. I always laugh at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because he was told a story of, you know, how's the weather up there? You know, that kind of thing. When was the first time you felt different? You know, if everybody at home who's listening, think about that. Because we all have that experience to bring to the table. So it's really a good thing, one voice, many stories.
Absolutely. That's a great theme.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And then on Tuesday, January 22nd, the Coalition for Dismantling Racism is sponsoring another Courageous Conversation. And this one is our moving into action phase. For those of you who may not know, during the course of 2018, the Coalition held a series of courageous conversations surrounding the resurgence of racism in this country. And we talked about a variety of topics. And after the conversation, people are more aware and have greater understanding of some of the issues that some of the minority members of our society face. And now we want to move into the action phase and see what we can do to address and remediate some of the issues that were mentioned during the course of our conversations. Mm-hmm. That is taking place at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, January 22nd at the Civil War Museum. And we invite the public to come and move into action with us. On Wednesday, January 23rd at 6 p.m., another organization that is one of our partners, the Congregations United to Serve Humanity, CUSH as it's better known, is having an amazing faith dinner. And that dinner is going to be held at the American Albanian Islamic Center, 6001 88th Avenue in Kenosha. It's also free, but you need to make a reservation by January 12th. And there is an email that you can make your reservation, and that email is uureverend@gmail.com. Once again, it's free, but you do need to make a reservation in advance, and that should be a wonderful event as well. On Thursday, January 24th at 11:30, the Urban League of Racine in Kenosha is also holding a Dr. Martin Luther King celebration luncheon. And their theme is Civil Rights and Job Inclusion in Wisconsin, Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. They have a speaker, Dr. Reuben Anthony Jr., who is president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Madison. That event is going to be held at the Italian American Club in Kenosha, 2217 52nd Street. There is a cost for that. It is $35 in advance, $40 at the door. So I don't know what the cutoff date is for that, but the $35 cost does include a membership to the Urban League, and it includes the luncheon, of course. On Thursday, January 24th at 12:30 p.m., there will be a screening of The Hate U Give. There's the book discussion on Saturday and the actual movie viewing on Thursday, January 24th at 12:30 p.m., and discussion will follow that. It's free and open to the public, and it will be held at the Southwest Public Library in the Activities Room in Kenosha. On Thursday, January 24th in the evening, Thursday is a busy day for Kindness Week. The Poor People's Campaign of Wisconsin is having a national call for moral revival. This is a new event for our Kindness Week. The Poor People's Campaign, we're happy to have them as a partner this year. And they're doing a presentation and discussion on systematic racism and poverty. This is also free and open to the public. The location is Grace Lutheran Church, 2006 60th Street. And we're hoping to get lots of people out there supporting the Poor People's Campaign. Friday, January 25th, from 8 a.m. to noon, Gateway Technical College and United Way are partnering to have a Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service. And anybody who wants to participate in that and help some of our local community nonprofits are welcome to do this. This will take place across the Gateway campuses in Kenosha, Racine, and Elkhorn. And registration is needed. So for more information, you can visit gtc.edu/givepulse. And so we're hoping that a lot of people decide to volunteer. On Saturday, January 26th, our week ends with a dinner at 5:30 p.m. at UAW Local 72. This dinner is put on by the Civil and Human Rights Committee of the UAW, and it's their Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. commemorative program. It's been in place for 35 years. Their theme is Give Us the Ballot. And I want to announce that in the paper and on our program, it says the speaker is going to be Mandela Barnes, Lieutenant Governor. There has been a change, an exciting change. The governor himself, Tony Evers, will be the speaker, so that should be pretty exciting to have the actual new governor come to this dinner and give a speech. So hopefully people will show up. I'm certain they will, but I'd like people to get the word out that the speaker will be Governor Tony Evers. And there's an admission cost for that. It's $20. Children 12 and under, the cost is $10. That includes the dinner and the program. So we're real excited about having the governor come to this event. So it's a loaded week, and there's lots of activities for anybody to come to. We don't expect people to come to every single event. You'd have your entire week occupied, but if you can show up for one or two or three of these events, I think you'd be encouraged and enlightened by the activities that take place.
What's interesting and joyful, Adeline, is when you look over this calendar events, all of the different entities in Kenosha that are partnering with the coalition, the Civil War Museum, the Northside Library, Gateway, the Italian American Club, the American Albanian Islamic Center, Gateway again, Grace Lutheran Church, mm-hmm. the Southwest Library, the UAW Local 72. That's quite a number of entities. So how do you feel? I mean, that had to have been a lot of work, getting all of the partners together from so many different aspects of Kenosha.
Absolutely. And I'm going to say this. It actually wasn't a lot of work. I think the work that we're doing is getting out into the public, and people are coming to us and wanting mm-hmm. to join this initiative. We are really excited to have so many new players in our Kindness Week activities. As I stated, we've always had the schools, the colleges, some of the local community-based organizations a part of us. But to have the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign join us this year mm-hmm. and to have this new Heartprint Heroes and the Urban League and the libraries and museums, CUSH, I mean, it's a whole microcosm of our community, and that's what we want. Mm-hmm. We want people of all faiths, all ethnicities, all interests to join us because, you know, kindness is a community effort, and we have to spread kindness wherever we go, and everybody can play a part in that. That's how we heal the community.
There you go. That's just awesome. Can you say a few words about the sponsors of these events?
Yes. What I will say is that each one of the various organizations plans their event independent of the coalition, and they simply let us know what they're doing. The events that the coalition sponsors, there are two events that we actually host, and the coalition hosts the Community Unity Breakfast as well as the Courageous Conversations. And our breakfast basically is a giveaway. There's a cost to us for holding the breakfast, but we don't let that stop us from letting people in for free. Mm-hmm. And our students primarily get in there for free, and a number of other people get in there for free, but there is a cost. And so for the last 8 years that I can remember, the Kenosha Community Foundation has sponsored us. And this year, we have had a number of other organizations come forward to say they want to sponsor this event, in particular the breakfast. So we've got more sponsors than we had even hoped for. Mm-hmm. And they include Carthage College, Kenosha Unified School District, the Kenosha Education Foundation, the Educators Credit mm-hmm. Union, the Kenosha County Health Center, Dooley and Associates, Black Hawk Credit Union, the Mahone Foundation, and Raleigh Construction. We are so very grateful that they are helping to sponsor our breakfast so that we can continue to give the breakfast free to students and the community who otherwise may not be able to afford the cost of the breakfast. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say thank you for all those sponsors we have this year.
Again, it's a ripple effect. One act of kindness ripples into many acts of kindness.
Absolutely.
And if everybody would just do one act of kindness per day and teach kids to do the same, it can make our community a better place. I mean, there's a lot to be proud of Kenosha. I don't know many communities that have a Kindness Week. So it's awesome that your leadership and leaders of many people who have passed on, really 23, 25, right. 30, 35 years later, the promise continues.
Absolutely. Because I think that's a great point that you raise. You know, sometimes we start things, but they don't continue for 23 years. And our committee members have changed over the course of time. But still, this is an important initiative, and enough people are a part of it that we are able to continue it for 23 years. And we hope we continue it for at least another 23 more years.
That's just awesome. So thank you so much. Can we talk a little bit about the forums that the Coalition for Dismantling Racism has sponsored this year? Can you share with us what's your take on this? What have you learned? Because you've done an awesome job with the forums for dismantling racism in education, for dismantling racism with incarceration and employment. Can you share with us some bright spots? Is there hope? What have you learned along the way?
I think there's always hope in bringing people together for conversation and dialogue that brings about understanding of someone else's situation. And that's why, as you say, stories are important. And that's how people get to know one another, get to understand what another person has gone through, and hopefully have some empathy for their situation. I think it's a starting place mm-hmm. that you know that everybody's experience is not the same.
Right.
And so I think that's what we've learned along the way. And I think we've raised awareness in this community to the plight of the minority members of not just this community, but across the United States, that things happen differently for minorities in the United States. And I think we've not only made people aware, but we've inspired them to want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, as we were having these conversations, many people were taking in the information. They were glad to get the information, but we heard, you know, what can we do about this? How can we make things better?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why our January conversation is called Moving Into Action, and we're going to come up with some things that we can do to make an impact, an even greater impact, to make this community better. For that particular Courageous Conversation, we have invited Reggie Jackson from Nurturing Diversity Partners out of Milwaukee to help us facilitate this conversation with the community and come up with some ideas about what we can do, small steps, not big steps, but the small steps will lead to bigger things over the course of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking forward to our moving into action phase and hope that we get lots of participation, because it takes a whole community to bring about change.
So we have with us Troy McDonald, our radio engineer, and Troy was the keynote speaker at the Martin Luther King Day presentation, part of Kindness Week, 3 years ago. And I remember being in the audience, Troy, and just being so inspired. Can you share with us, because this is about stories and sharing our stories, as you've told me many times, listeners want to hear stories. So what, tell us about that day, and how did you feel, and were you nervous? And I mean, you spoke your truth, but it was an awesome speech. So tell us about that.
And actually, I'm going to share something on this show with you that I've never shared about that day before. And it's a good story. I mean, it's a sad story, but it's a true story. So at that time, my family was homeless. The day I gave that speech, we were homeless. And we were staying in one of my mom's coworkers' basements. And so, as you can imagine, I'm preparing for this speech. I'm typing it at the Gateway Library. I didn't have a computer. And so I'm typing it on the computer library, reading it in the basement, rehearsing it as I'm getting ready for this day. So there was a lot going on at that time. But I wasn't nervous. I was looking forward to it because it was a way to get out of where that basement, you know. And it, I mean, it had air conditioning and it was lit and everything, so it wasn't terrible. But to have a semblance that I could be better, that my life could be better, it gave me hope to be on that stage that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't nervous. I was ready to go. I literally, it's funny because I wore a white coat that day, and they had like corsage or whatever they call it, flowers they put on everyone. And I had to dig through my car because all of my belongings were in my car.
Wow.
And or my mom's car. We both had cars. And so I'm digging through trying to find this white coat because I said, I'm going to wear this white coat on this stage. And so, yeah, it was a fantastic speech. And what I tried to convey at during that speech was just how important it was for people to realize that the history, the pain that has been passed down, even though I was on the stage giving this speech, the pain and the sacrifice that my ancestors went through is in my DNA. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the lines that I had. And so I wanted to convey that, yes, we have made strides, we have made progress, but there's still so much work left to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a weird juxtaposition that day, I'd say, Joe, for sure.
Well, I confess that I had tears in my eyes because I knew you, you know, as part of Peace Learning Circles, and you're up there giving this speech, and I'm going, wow, you know. And it was so real, and you did emphasize the pain and the struggle of your ancestors and how it got you to the point where you are. And now you're going to Harvard.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, that's everybody.
Fantastic.
Harvard,
yeah.
The Kennedy School of Government.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? You're commuting?
Yeah, so I didn't want to leave. I've been at WGTD here since 2011, and I didn't want to leave here in a lurch, you know, and just like
right.
say, hey, I'm just walking out. They had hired me full-time in March of last year, mm-hmm. And so I just didn't want to do that. So I'm going to be commuting, like you said, back and forth. That could be sometimes once a week, twice a week. But the team here has been so supportive of me. They want me to do that. They're excited for me to do that. And the entire college here has been great. So it wasn't a tough decision at all when I had all of that support behind me. So thank you so much, Joe. Didn't even have to mention it, but I appreciate
that. Oh, yeah, we
got to
mention it.
That's fantastic.
So then I'm going to lead into you, Adeline. I confess also, I've been in awe of you with your ability to lead and to speak without seemingly any nervousness, any sweat of any kind, but you capture the audience at all of these forums, sometimes 500, 1,000 people. You've been a lead speaker at the Martin Luther King. How do you do that and keep your cool? I mean, do you get nervous up there, or how do you do that?
Of course I get nervous. And, you know, I feel comfortable in a facilitation role. I've not been a main speaker, but I've facilitated many forums. And I prepare for every opportunity that comes my way. And I'm glad that my nervousness does not show, because I definitely am nervous. But, you know, it's important. All these forums are important. Anytime you can bring community together to hear stories and to bring about understanding that promotes hope and kindness, I'm all for that. So I think whatever nervousness I have, it goes away when you see the bigger picture.
Mm. I don't want to put you on the spot, but when was the first time you felt different? And how did you overcome the discrimination and the racism and maybe being the only person of color in your industry? How did you overcome all of that to bring people together? I mean, that's kind of Nelson Mandela-like. Nelson Mandela is my hero of all times. Here's a person, 26 years imprisoned. When he comes out, he becomes the president of South Africa. He could have wreaked vengeance on his country, but he brings everybody together with his famous word, Ubuntu, I am because we are.
Right.
So how do you do that?
You asked so many questions, Joe. I'm going to start maybe with your first question, which was, when was I made to feel different? And I think I felt different most of my life in this regard. I was, generally speaking, the only person of color in most of my classes when I was coming up. And so I've grown to become comfortable with different groups of people because mm-hmm. I was generally the only. And so coming to Kenosha, I feel like my whole life has been preparation for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel very comfortable with any ethnicity, any group of people, because that's what I've known most of my life. Of course, you know, my siblings, my family were African American, but my classmates and my teachers were all white. I never had a black teacher during my entire education until I got to college. And so I learned to interact with all different kinds of people, and I feel very comfortable in that role. I feel like all of us are the same inside. You know, mm-hmm. we may look different outside, but we're all the same. We want the same things. And so I just tap into my internal confidence and what I've learned through mentors over the course of time, because mm-hmm. we've all had mentors,
yes.
people who have supported us. And I have used that to try to make the world a better place, and I hope I have done some of that during the course of my time here in Kenosha.
Well, you have. It's awesome. I mean, I see throughout my lifetime that we live in silos. It's separate. Everybody's in their own comfort zone, their own silo. But to have people transverse those silos and be able to connect with various aspects of the communities. I mean, even the Green Bay Packers president was talking about they didn't communicate with one another and they were operating in silos. And so, too, in society, you know, we have silo neighborhoods. We have silos with our workplace, silos with our celebrations. It's amazing to see people who have transversed that and can connect those silos and break down those walls.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I think that's why stories are so important, and conversation and dialogue is important as well, because when we talk to each other, we find that we have more in common than we have that's different.
Sure.
Internally, we want very similar things. We want, you know, our families to be healthy and successful. And, you know, the outward appearance means nothing, because we are all human beings with the same hopes and dreams. And if we continue this dialogue with the idea of having some understanding of someone else's situation, I think we'll make progress slowly, but we'll make progress.
Mm-hmm. Well, my story is growing up Italian and Polish in Milwaukee in the 50s. And with Hollywood portraying Italians and Sicilians as the mafia. To this day, I've never met anybody in the mafia. But people think that with a name like Mangi, which is short for Mangiarciana, and coming from Sicily, and, you know, the number one TV show in the 50s was Elliot Ness and the Untouchables. Every crook and criminal was Italian or Sicilian. We're far more than Al Capone. And then came The Godfather. And it wasn't just one Godfather movie. It had to be Godfather 1, Godfather 2, Godfather 3. My father picketed the Godfather movies on Wisconsin Avenue in Milwaukee for being discriminatory. Then came Goodfellas, then Sopranos, and on and on and on. And there's only been one or two movies in the last 60 years that doesn't portray Italians or Sicilians as the mafia. One was with Cher, Moonstruck. People say, oh, yeah, I remember Moonbeams. No, it wasn't Moonbeams. It was Moonstruck in the 90s. And the second one is Green Book, the movie that's out with Mahershala Ali and Viggo Mortensen. I recommend that to everyone highly. So we all bring, but for me it ended. For you guys, it doesn't end. You got to fight every single day.
And for us, you know, when you talk about portrayals on TV and the movies, it's limited for us. We don't. Recently, we've seen more portrayals of African Americans and people of color. But during the course of my upbringing, we didn't see images of ourselves on TV or in the movies. And if we did, it was negative portrayals. It was something that you were ashamed of. And so I think the world is changing as we're once again coming to greater understanding of our various situations, our various cultures, that everybody needs to be represented in a positive light. And I think that's happening more. It needs to happen even more, but it's promising. Things are promising and hopeful.
Well, God bless you, Adeline, and you too, Troy. We're coming to a close. We're running out of time. I think we could talk for another hour. Maybe we'll do a part two. But everybody, Kindness Week is coming up. We listed the events. You can find them online. It's the 23rd Annual Kindness Week, January the 18th to the 26th. Try to make a promise that you'll attend at least one or two. Adeline Green, thank you so much for being such a powerful and positive leader of our community. And Troy, best wishes at Harvard's School of Government, the Kennedy School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Wow. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you,
Have a great day.
It's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring the Mandolin Coffee Company,